When we speak about the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, I want us to be clear that the work of the Holy Spirit just doesn't start with the book of Acts. We realize that we see that He is a divine person, so He's been in existence from the very beginning with God. He's a Spirit of God. He's a Spirit of Christ. And we read Jesus speaking about Him as a person in John 16 and verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. The Spirit of truth is not some mystical force, though it does have force. He does have force. But it's a person. Jesus would promise His apostles that indeed He would not leave them desolate, would not leave them orphanless. I will come unto thee. Because He said, I'll give you another comforter. Another and like character. Another and like being. Another is in God. And as Ananias and Sapphira were lying, they weren't lying to men. Peter said, you're lying to God. So He's a divine person. He indeed is one that is very God. And He is a person, pronoun He. But it wasn't the first time that He was involved in working. We read from the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. We'll find that there was darkness over the face of the deep and the Spirit moved. What did He do that day? What did He do? His Spirit moved over the face of the waters. What did that cause? What did that action of moving cause? We're not told. But it's interesting, the next two verses that we read following this, that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the God of heaven divided the darkness from the light. Here was the earth, here's the heavens, and there is the part of it dark and part of it light. How does that work? And He saw that the light was good. It was evening, morning, first day. Could the world be rotating during that time? Dividing half of it from darkness, half of it from light? Could there be an action of moving that maybe this earth started rotating? I don't know. But in that context, so what would be the action of it moving upon the face of the waters? It might have been an action taking place, but He was beginning. In the beginning, He's already working. New Testament writers understood that they were being moved by God. And the Spirit was moving upon them. They didn't speak the Scriptures, and their prophecy did not come by the will of man, but of God. And men were moved by the Holy Spirit to speak. It was an action taking place. And it wasn't created in the mind of man. It did not originate with man. It was one that indeed originated from God. But the Spirit was moving in every prophet of God. Spirit's been acting a long time before Acts. And we read when the book of Acts opens, an interesting statement made. Luke is reminding Theophilus that indeed he had told him about the things that Christ did unto the time of His ascension, when through the Holy Spirit, He gave commandment. So, Holy Spirit speaking through him. No, He, through the Holy Spirit, made commandment before He ascended upon high. Well, we look in the Gospels, right before He went and ascended upon high, what commandment did He give? Make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded thee. And lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the world, end of the age. The Holy Spirit's going to be there. It's interesting as Luke writes this history of what happened after the ascension of Christ. This book opens up. This is a book about the Holy Spirit's working. And we see that indeed that takes place in the book of Acts. What is the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? Let's try to put it together by looking at a passage of Scripture. When we speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I want to read these. And in your mind, I want you to see, would that be revealing God's Word or would it be confirming God's Word? Could we put them in that neat little package? Maybe not so neat, but I think we can see these two points being made. Notice the Spirit emphasized. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God. Here's that triune God. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. This is His special work as He moves the minds of people and these miraculous gifts. But it was to profit with all. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. Another the word of knowledge. Another from the same Spirit, of the same Spirit. To another faith, the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings in one Spirit. And to another workings of miracles. And another prophecy. And to another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. But all that which worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as He will. God's involved, the Lord's involved, the Spirit's emphasized. And in these diversities of gifts, what we see taking place in the book of Acts, the people were praying for boldness. Miraculously, their buildings shook. And they went about and spake the word of God. There was an idea of revealing the Word of God. The apostles would be involved in doing that. That's revealing it. They would speak it with boldness. But we see in the book of Acts where Peter, as he performs a miracle, in Acts the 3rd chapter in verse 10, when he performed that miracle after it had been told that silver and gold I have I none, but what I have I give unto thee, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise. And miraculously, instantaneously, he did. What was the result? The Bible says, and they took knowledge of him, took knowledge of the man that was healed, and that it was he that set at alms for in the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which things had happened unto him. See, what a miracle did, it showed the power of God in a way that man could not do. But it created wonder and amazement in the beholder. Confirmation. This man must be of God. We see that the word of wisdom, or at least wisdom, Stephen had. In Acts the 6th chapter in verse 10. They were not able to withstand. People that he was discussing things with and these groups, they were not able to withstand the wisdom or the Spirit by which he spoke. Some of your Bibles will have a capital S. Some will have a little S. That didn't help us much what they thought it was, but was this his Spirit? Was his dynamic manner in which he spoke? Was it the fervency of his heart that indeed he spoke and that really wasn't really a miraculous gift? I think he's pretty bold that day. He died for what he preached. But it could be the Spirit giving him the wisdom of God that could not withstand it. I know a little earlier in Acts the 6th chapter in verse 8, that this same Stephen was able to do miraculous works. Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. What is a sign? Well, it's that little yellow thing with black curlicues that say you're getting ready to go through a big curve. Well, that's the real important thing. I see a sign. You're in trouble if that's all you see. As you're going 65 miles an hour through, so it's 30, you may be in trouble. The sign signifies something more important than itself. It's not black curvatures on a yellow sign. It's not the fact, well, here's a miracle. It caused wonder and amazement, but it signified this is a man of God. It didn't say Stephen was the son of God, but he was indeed a man of God, being involved in preaching that word, doing miracles. I suggest to you that here he was given the wisdom revealed from God of what he should say, and the Holy Spirit equipped him to do miracles. What were they involved? I begin to see that they're involved in confirming as well as revealing the word of God. Prophecy. When Paul laid his hands upon those people, Ephesus, that they were baptized in the name of the Lord, what did they do? Oh, they spoke in tongues. Yes, they did. But the Bible says they also prophesied. Prophecies revealing the mind of God. And indeed, when they spoke in tongues, they spoke about and they magnified the Lord in what they said. There may be some revelation there from God, but it may be what they're setting forth. But primarily, these tongues were to confirm something. It was a sign, indeed, this message that has been preached and we've obeyed is indeed of God. He's the original source. Confirmation as well as revelation. Speak the word. Word of wisdom and prophecy. And what we see is that the Holy Spirit was involved in confirming the miracles as well as revealing the word of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is actively directing the spreading of the gospel. It's interesting to me that in Acts the 8th chapter, it was an angel told him to be going where he needs to go. An angel of God. But when he came close to that eunuch, it's the Spirit that tells him, go near that chariot. There was that teaching that was about to take place. And the Holy Spirit's interested in that. That's the one. That's his chariot. Go near. And after he taught him the gospel, we'll find the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Moving him, where's his next place he needs to go? Actively directing how things would unfold in the spreading of the gospel. Not acting upon the mind of the eunuch. Holy Spirit working upon him. He's working all right. He got him in touch with a preacher. And the preacher was called away when his mission's finished. I tell you what got into the heart of the eunuch was the word of God. He's reading Isaiah. Who's he talking about? And beginning from that passage, he preached unto him Jesus. He obeyed that gospel. Holy Spirit was involved that day, but it wasn't slaying the person, knocking him down on the floor and say, hey, you're saved. It was getting the preacher in touch with the person that needed to hear it, and he just happened to be in a chariot. In Acts the 13th chapter and verse 2, the Holy Spirit is involved directly. The Holy Spirit tells them to separate Saul and Barnabas to the work that I have chosen them to do. And I called them to that work. In verse 4, they were sent forth. By whom? All the church was involved in sending them, but the Holy Spirit was directing them. He's actively directing here this first missionary journey. Paul would have three. And Apostle Paul was being chosen, Saul at this time, along with Barnabas, to the work that they needed to do. And you know, there are times when he forbade them to go places. Yes, the Holy Spirit directly forbade them to go to places when they thought they needed to go. They were not going to go to Asia in Acts 16, 6 and 7. Phineas, they wanted to go. They're not going there. They can't go north. They can't go south. But where are they going? Well, they've been heading from the east. I guess we'll go west. And they end up at Troas. That's where God wanted him. And he sees a vision of a man saying, come over and help us. He perceived that they needed to go to Macedonia. for the west, to go to Macedonia. They've been all other places, but they needed to go there to be involved in preaching the gospel. He would not suffer them. He would not allow them to go those places that they were thinking to go. But he wanted them in a certain place. From the book of Acts, I see the Holy Spirit working, always working miraculously. But it's working also to get this word spread, not only in Jerusalem and Judea, but to the uttermost part of the earth. And the Holy Spirit was involved in doing that. When we speak about the work of the Holy Spirit, I want to look at something I think would be amiss to not recognize. That we might call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's working miraculously with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit which confirm the word. He's directing the, how the word's going to be spread. But there's something that happened as the book of Acts opens that's very important. I want us to get a hold of it. That when we see this event taking place, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled, but we're seeing Jesus actively involved in doing something. And he's doing it from heaven. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in verse 11, we read where John the Baptist, as he's preparing the way of the Lord. That's what how God wanted things to unfold. He makes a statement to these people, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit." When we see here, baptize you in the Holy Spirit, that was a promise that indeed other passages will find came from the Father. And Jesus is, Bob, going to be fulfilling this, but John's pointing this out. I'm not worthy to tie laces. Not worthy to be involved with his shoes. He's mightier than I. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. When was that about to happen? In Acts, the 1st chapter, in verses 4 and 5, we read that Jesus is reminding him of what was to take place. And I want to read this. "Being assembled together with them, the apostles, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem." Why? "But wait." Why is it so urgent for this, Lord? "Wait for the promise of the Father, which said he you heard from me. For John indeed baptized in water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Don't you leave Jerusalem. You stay there. It's about to come. And when the power comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, we see that power coming down. We see that Holy Spirit moving yet again. And moving in a miraculous way. In verse 3 and 4, they were appeared to them tongues. The apostles were the ones in chapter 1, the last verse. They had chosen the replacement of Judas. They were numbered with 11 apostles. Now when they, pronoun, were gathered together. They were gathered in one place. "Suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder." Remember, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. "And like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." The manifestations, miraculous manifestations of the Spirit was shown by his power. "And he began to speak, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." It had now come. And it moved on them that they spoke in other language, other tongues. Tongues not were not their own. But who laid hands this day on the apostles? Nobody. Jesus baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Directly from heaven. Not the laying on anybody's hands. Well, miraculous things took place when that took place with the apostles. But on the apostles, here it came. That power came. And the apostles were filled to speak with other tongues, languages of other men. They were not in the language that they were born in, but people heard them in the language in which they were born. How come these Galileans are speaking like they're doing? What does this mean? Confirmation was there. Wonder and amazement was there. All things were in place, as indeed something of importance was occurring. What was it? Suggest to you that Joel is being brought forth as a prophecy of coming, and he speaks about the last days when not only men but women and other people do it, be involved in these miraculous revelations of God, the Spirit moving them upon them to do so. But he says something interesting, that at the close of this, Joel's statement is, it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Suggest to you that straight from heaven, without any instrumentality of man, his hands, was communicated a message that day that salvation in the name of the Lord has come. And they said, it's confirmed. These men are speaking. Peter would stand up with the 11 and say, they're not drunk. They were the ones speaking. And where did they get that power? Holy Spirit came upon them. But you think Jesus was stressing to them, don't you leave Jerusalem, it's going to come. John indeed baptized in water, but indeed the one he's pointing to, that's me, Jesus could say, is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and not many days hence. Here it came. And it was a statement, salvation in the name of the Lord has come. Acts 10. Holy Spirit is working again. Kind of a similar way. And what we see here is not on the apostles, but it's on the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household. They indeed are assembled together. And miraculously the events had taken place for the preacher and Cornelius to get together. Peter had to be convinced, Cornelius had to sin. But they got together, and when Peter began to preach, something happened. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them that heard the word. Fell on whom? Cornelius. Whose hands were laid that day on them? So they could speak in tongues. I'm reading. Something happened from heaven without the administration of the working of the hands to give them miraculous power, but they spoke in tongues too. But in Acts 11th chapter, when Peter is rehearsing what took place and reminding them what took place, he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, even on us at the beginning, Peter says. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized in water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John, who's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit? Jesus is. And without any intervention of man, a sign, something, a message important to see, was coming directly from heaven. You see, Acts 2, it was being now open, salvation, the name of the Lord is being open, and he's speaking to Jews and proselytes. But now, it's not on the apostles. It's upon the Gentiles. They've got the same gift that we had at the beginning, speaking in tongues. What does it mean? Because that happened to them. And we see in as we go from Acts, the 10th chapter, in verse 44. Look at verse 45. And they of the circumcision that believed were amazed. Yes, they would be, as signs. It is wonderment that indeed the power of God has been exhibited directly upon them. As many as came, as you said, believed were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they realized this is what happened. It confirmation work of the Holy Spirit. But what was he confirming? What was the message that day? It's the message that time has come. For God to grant salvation to the Gentiles. Acts the 11th chapter and verse 14, I know he is being sent to them to preach the word that they'll be saved. Hear words of mine that you'll be impressed. Hear words of mine that you will be impressed with the miraculous things that occur. Be impressed with the laying on of my hands to show you I'm an apostle. Something came directly from heaven. Peter says, I'm here to save you. But listen to verse 17 and 18. And here was the response of the people after Peter explains to them what happened. If then God gave the like gift as he did unto us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? That's why I baptized them. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also hath God granted repentance unto life. That's the message we need to get. They got it. They wrong. He don't understand. It's all about the Holy Spirit working. It's all about this miraculous feeling that you get. I'm studying with a man right now that at this point in time he thinks he's saved. He said, I was saved in a Pentecostal church. And I knew he was a charlatan, that preacher. I saw in the back that indeed he'd be giving money to people so they'd fall down when he put his hands on them. He saw that. But one day, he's by that preacher, and that preacher touched him, and he went down. He went down. I didn't want to go down, but he went down. And I knew I was saved. Where's the pattern of that in the New Testament? It's not there. That work in the Holy Spirit was not on this occasion to prove that they're already saved. Unless you think you can be saved without repentance. But he had granted unto them the opportunity to turn to God from their evil ways unto eternal life. That's the message. That was what was important to them, for them to see. And they saw it. So what we are observing in Acts 2, the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues came without the laying on of hands. That's exactly what happened in Acts 10. And yet there are some people who say, well, Acts 10 is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of that reason because you don't want Acts 10, those people to be inspired like the apostles were. Friends, take the Bible as it's written. And understand that here were two things that were similar, and Peter would be reminded of that. And he says, this took place as it did from the beginning. There was a time in Acts 8 when the preaching of the gospel took place. And we find that the people in Samaria, that they had been baptized, they hadn't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do? They sent to Jerusalem, and Peter and John come, and they lay on their hands on them, and they spoke in tongues. That didn't happen. Peter said, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that happened today in Cornelius' household that took place not in Acts 8, but in Acts 2. What was the difference? Speaking in tongues? There was no laying on the apostles' hands. He said, that's the point he's driving at. Acts 2, therefore, what is it? Speaking in tongues was not a sign that Jews were saved, but salvation is offered. Because then they would be told to be baptized. We're repenting and being baptized in the name of the Lord. And they would submit to that gospel. It wasn't a sign that they were saved, it was a sign that they could be saved. And that's exactly the message in Acts 10. That's the message of the Holy Spirit baptism. And what is interesting, that repentance and baptism in the name of the Lord was commanded that day. Acts 2, it was commanded. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of your sins. As that calling on the name of the Lord in baptism. So we see in Acts 22:16. But in Acts, the 10th chapter, repentance and water baptism was commanded that followed the speaking in tongues. Young men who are planning to preach, listen to this. I've been in private Bible studies and Baptist preacher being there when I was a young preacher. And that Baptist preacher say, you can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you've been saved. And they want to go to Acts the 10th chapter and realize, hey, when did Cornelius receive the Holy Spirit? Before baptism or afterwards? Well, he received it before. No unsaved person could ever receive the Holy Spirit. So you're wrong. He's wrong because he didn't know what the message of Acts 10 was about. It was the same message in Acts 2. They focus in on this miraculous gift, the Holy Spirit, therefore I'm saved. It's proof that I'm saved. No, it's not. It's proof that salvation had come. And no wonder. Who was I to forbid God? It came directly from heaven. I can't withstand Him. That's when He commanded them to be baptized in water. For the penance, based upon their repentance, He commanded them to do that. And they submitted to that. Just stay with the truth and with the text and realize Baptist preacher doesn't have the truth on that. Peter tells you the truth. And you realize what was the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I close by thinking, all right, Book of Acts, work of the Holy Spirit. World's been created. Prophecy has been done. We have a faith once and for all delivered. Not going to be anything added to that. That needs confirmation. Salvation's been ushered. Who's left out? Jew, Gentile, who's left? That work's been done. The word's been revealed. Revelation, confirmation, been done. Does the Holy Spirit not work today? The Holy Spirit continues to work. In that word that He was directly involved with in getting the preacher in the chariot with the eunuch. What He was directly involved with in forbidding the apostles to go where maybe they wanted to go. He's still working today as He has that word completed now. And to saving men is the power of God unto salvation. Paul writes in Romans 1:16. It continues. This confirmed revelation from God. Telling us about what God did in His Son. To save all men from their sin. Is the message that will convict and convert the hearts of every person still living. And it will continue to do so. Paul, speaking to the elders in Ephesus, left them with this commendation. I commend you, he says, to God. and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That message continues to do that. If you think you're going to build people up spiritually through fleshly means, entertainment, such things as that, you missed it. The pattern is here. Possible communion to God as the original source. I commune you the word of his grace. It is there to build you up and to help you toward eternal life. That same gospel is needed today because it continues to give us the hope of heaven. In Colossians 1 and verse 5, the people had heard from probably that faithful minister, Epaphras. As he preached in the gospel, that you heard before the word and the truth of the gospel. What did you hear? Hope. Hope that's laid up for you in the heavens. That's the ultimate. That continues to be preached when we take that word that's been confirmed by the Holy Spirit and now completed. We're built up after we're saved. And we continue to be saved because we have that one hope of heaven. And where do you read that, friends? I'm impressed in Romans the 5th chapter that we find that the Apostle Paul speaks of what has been shed abroad in our hearts. Verse 5 says, he shed abroad in our hearts the Holy Spirit which was given unto us. What was it? It's this love. This hope put us not to shame, but because the love of God which has been shed abroad in your hearts through the Holy Spirit. How much do you know about the love of God apart from his word? Do you think about the love of God when a tornado comes and wipes out your families? Am I thinking about the love of God when a hurricane comes and beats on my house? I just want God to deliver us. How do you know the love of God apart from his word? Shed abroad in our hearts the Holy Spirit. That's the work he did. How do you know? Look at the next verse in Romans 5. For while we were weak, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, for peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committeth his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's going to say that we're saved from the wrath of God. I know the love of God because I was a sinner. I was one apart from God. I deserved death. He loved me before I loved him. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit has spread that in my heart. How? Even miraculous times have spread through the gospel. And therefore he continues to work through his word. Let's read it. Let's take it into our hearts. Let's obey it. And let it give you the hope of heaven and the after while. Thank you.